فلم تجد ماء فتيمموا صعيدا طيبا.
If there is no water and there is the fear that the time of prayer would lapse, what do you do? You do tayammum. And we have a hadith of Ammar ibn Yasir and the rest of them. So you do tayammum, inshallah. It says, someone who releases semen sometimes, whenever he is excreting feces, should he always have his ritual bath after the release? He said, when somebody who discharges, he said, it is great whenever someone who releases semen. Which kind of semen do you release? When you say semen, which kind of semen? Is it mazi? Is it mani? Is it wadi? Are you understanding me? We have stated it in this class. That if you discharge, if you discharge out while you are urinating, you urinate and then it is followed by secretion. And here he's saying he passes through and then he secretes. Does this person need to take the ritual bath? We said he doesn't need to take the ritual bath. He doesn't need to take the ritual bath. We have the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. In spite of the fact that you see the hadith in Fiqh al-Sunnah, in spite of the fact that in Tamam al-Minnah, Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani says the end of that hadith has a problem. Abdullah ibn Abbas was praying, and Mujahid, Tawus, Ikrimah, students of Abdullah ibn Abbas were in the mosque, and Abdullah ibn Abbas was praying. Somebody came and said he's looking for a mufti. And he says, what do you want to ask? He says, somebody urinates and it is followed by semen. He says, which kind of semen? Is it the one that impregnates a woman? He says, yes. He said, yes, you have to take the ritual bath. Then he leaves. And Abdullah ibn Abbas rushes his prayer. And he says, Allah, go and call him. This fatwa that you have given him, is it from the book of Allah? From the Sunnah of the Prophet? From one of the companions, not me, that told you? Are you understanding me? Again, he just told him that he doesn't need to take the ritual bath. Anganiko. So they say, Idha fadda'ta al-man. Like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Idha fadda'ta. I'm giving up for doctor, that is when the sperm gushes. When it gushes out. And when it gushes out, you derive some pleasure and things like that. So scholars say that when it does not gush out, you don't find any, you derive any pleasure. It is a kind of sickness. Are you understanding me? You don't need to take the ritual bath. All you need to do is to wash it, just like you wash the urine from your organ. This one says, what is the extent of washing the clothes that has been contaminated by sperm? Contaminated? I.e., do the person need to rinse it with water only or with soap? Do you need to use soap? You don't need to use soap. When the Sharia tells you to purify, you just use what? Water. You use water and then you... You scrub, is that what, how you call it? You scrub. So you don't need to use soap. And you know, somebody came to ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to, a woman came to the Prophet and asked the Prophet with regards to how she washes her clothes from what? The blood of menses. What did the Prophet tell her? What the Prophet tell her? He said, Takrusuhu. Ko? Takrusuhu. You scrub it, you scrape it. Thumma tandahu. Then you sprinkle water on it. Then she asked the Prophet, what if she does that and there is still the athar of the sperm on it? What the Prophet said? He said, Yakfikil ma. Wala yadurruki atharuhu. He said, Yakfikil. It is sufficient for you to use water. Once you have used the water, that is it. You don't need to use any soap. This person says, Assalamu alaikum, can the ritual bath be replaced with a regular bath? And can you please tell us the steps in taking the ritual bath? We have done that. We have done the hadith of Maimuna and the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha as to how the Prophet ﷺ takes the ritual bath. Before you go back to those ahadith, it will tell you how the ritual bath is done. We don't have to go back to it. But can... He said, can the ritual bath be replaced with a regular bath? Can they be replaced? Regular bath, ayy ba ibadah ba chiba. Are you listening to me? And this one is what?
Ibadah.
What is adah? Am I this one is ibadah? Kuma innamal amal bin niyyat. So this is ritual bath. So you cannot say that ritual bath is replaced with Except of course you want to ask that, can you do it together? Are you understanding me? Can we do it together?
Yes.
Hmm? Can do it together. How do we do it? Can I come with my soap and with the intention of taking the ritual? But I have the intention. I bring water and soap. Are you understanding me? And with the soap and everything, I want to bath together and with the intention of also purifying myself from sexual defilement. Is it okay? Is it okay? Is it okay? Huh? Why? You say it's okay. You are the one. You are pretending not to. You say it's okay. Huh? I come to the bathroom with my soap and everything, and I take the intention of taking the ritual bath, and then I just pour water together with soap. Is it okay? It's not. That's the way you do it. You have had him. He said it is either you do the ritual bath first, then you do the soap, or you do that of soap first before the ritual bath. But there's no way I cannot combine the two together with the intention. I say wallahu alam. That's very good. That you said wallahu alam. Can we do it together? We can do it together. Since there is an intention. Huh? You have hujjah?
Have more than one intention for an action.
For an action.
Even the salat. How to do a particular salat?
Yes.
If you do sunnah, how many minutes?
You can have
two intentions for one salat.
From one salat. Mm-hmm.
So,
for example.
For example, Tahiyat al-Masjid.
Yes.
And sunnah number one.
Naam.
What is Masjid?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have the intention of taking the ritual bath and also taking the other bath with the soap and everything. Can you supply us with an authority from whatever book? From whatever book. Do you agree with me? He says you can only do either the ritual bath first or the ritual bath later, but to join it together, you cannot do it. Do we agree with this one?
Yes.
And how many of us agree with him? Nobody is agreeing. He's agreeing?
Yeah.
How are you? He's seated and you're saying he's agreeing. He said, do women who pleat their hair have to pour water on their hair during the ritual bath? This issue, we are going to read it so that we become satisfied. Are you understanding me? Sahibu al-fiqh al-wadi min al-kitab al-sunnah Dr. Muhammad Bikr Ismail has discussed this in volume 1 of his work. Can we, with the intention of bathing, the ritual bath, come with water and soap and bath together? Can we do that or we cannot do that? He has answered us. We will bring the book. We will read it. Are you understanding me? So that we do things with knowledge. Then there is Sheikh Khalid Hannu. Khalid Hannu. He wrote a book, Al-Jami Al-Fiqhi Li-Ahkam Al-Tahara. Al-Jami Al-Fiqhi Li-Ahkam Al-Tahara of Sheikh Khalid Hannu. He also opens, we are going to bring the two books. Are you understanding me? So that we read and we'll be comfortable. And probably we will go with him. Are we following? And probably we'll go with him. And also we can also go with him. Are you understanding me? So that if we go with him, we say it is okay. If we go with him, we also say it was, it's okay. It's understood? We bring the two books so that we read and we are satisfied, inshallah. Al-Amr Wasi. Naam. You said? Is it possible to... Is it possible to jump? Swimming pool with the intention of taking the ritual bath. You are asking another question. Is it possible or is it not possible? It's possible. Go back about we don't even, and that is why Imam Shafi'i when scholars argue with regards to Al-Dalq, you know, Al-Dalq. Ibn Rushd al-Qurtubi in Bidayatul Mushtahid wa Nihayatul Muqtasid, Ibn Rushd al-Qurtubi, when he's coming, when Imam al-Malik, in the Maliki school of thought, they said, when you come to take the ritual bath, Al-Dalq is what? Compulsory. That you scrub the body. And Al-Shafi'i is of the opinion that Al-Dalq is not what? It's not compulsory. So he says, if somebody dives into the sea with the intention of taking the ritual bath, and he comes back, with that, do you believe he said that there is a spot somewhere, water did not touch? Will it be said like that? Because the thing is, they say, if there is no dalq, there is the possibility, if you don't scrub, there is the possibility of having a luma'ah. There's the possibility of what? Luma'ah. So if you jump into the sea with the intention and you come out, even if you don't scrub the body, have you taken the ritual bath or you have not? You have taken it. This is what even Sheikh Sadat al-Fahim says. And he says, do women who plait their hair have to pour water on their hair during the ritual bath? Do they need to pour water on their hair? I don't understand this question. Don't they? Don't they? Huh? Don't they or they don't? They must.
Yes.
That is the truth position. Oh, they must. They must put water
the hair.
In their hair, add to the scalp or to the roots of the hair. They must make sure that water gets to the root of the hair. And that is why scholars argue, do they have to undo their hair for the ritual bath? Is that also? Majority of the scholars are of the opinion that if it is with regards to ritual bath, they don't have to undo their hair because of the hadith of Umm Salama, which is a Muslim, that she came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She asked that inni imra'atun ashuddu dafra rasi afa anquduha ko li ghusl al janaba wa fi riwayatin wal haid. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انما يكفيك ان تحثي على راسك ثلاث حثيات ثم تفيدين عليك الماء فتطهرين. Is that also? So it is sufficient for you to pour three handfuls of water on your hair to the root of the hair. Are you understanding me? That's what the Prophet told Umm Salama. She said she used to plait her hair. Does she need to undo the hair for the ritual bath? وفي رواية والحيد. That riwayah, that ziyada of walhaid, Subhanallah, Sayyidina Al-Ghazali said, That riwayah is not authentic. In spite of the fact that it is riwayah of Muslim. It's understood? But they say that ziyada of walhaid is not authentic in that hadith. Are you understanding me? So to them, they are of the opinion that you should differentiate between the ritual bath and the bath of menses. So Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Abdul Azim Badawi, Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani and their likes, they are of the opinion that if it is menstruation, if a woman is taking the ritual bath from menses, they say compulsorily, she has to undo her hair. She has to undo the plate. Are you understanding me? And then she puts water to the scalp if it's for menses. But majority of the scholars say no, even if it is menses, what is most important is what? That we make sure that water gets to the root of the hair, even if the hair is plaited. Is understood? I don't know. It's understood, right? So, you will answer this. Okay. Please, my question is that if someone has... This person says, please, can we classify the nikah of Umm Sulaym and Abu Talha under the hadith of intention in An-Nawawi? I.e. that he who makes hijrah because of marriage, can we classify it like that? Have you understood that question? That he accepted Islam because of marriage. Can we classify it like that? I say, can we classify it like that? Yes, what will you say? What will you say? You are not saying anything now. You are only shaking your head. What will any of us say? Yes. You want to say something? Yes. Why did he? So he says that we cannot classify the conversion of Abu Talha into Islam by the marriage of Umm Sulaym. We cannot classify it under accepting Islam because of marriage. Because according to him, he decided to marry Umm Sulaym because of her good character. And she used that to convert him into Islam. And then after converting him into Islam, he purified his intention for Allah, and he beautified his Islam because of Allah, and as such, it cannot be classified to be because of marriedness. The reason why he chose to marry, that is one of the reasons. That is what brought him into Islam. Are you understanding me? But after accepting Islam, did he purify his Islam or he did not? Did he or he did not? He said? He was. He was among the 10 people given paradise. Was he among the 10 people given paradise? Was Abu Talha among the 10 people given paradise? Anybody from the sisters? Was he among the 10 people given paradise? From the sisters? Abu Talha was not among? So who was among? Who was among if it's not Abu Talha? You have heard they say it is Talha ibn Ubaidullah. Talha ibn Ubaidullah, not Abu Talha. So Abu Talha is not among the people given the glad tidings. Even though in this hadith of Al-Ashara and Ubashiruna bin Jannah, Abu Talha is not among them. It's not among them. It's understood? So the fact that you have mentioned him does not mean. But of course, Abu Talha purified Islam so much so that there are some beautiful things he did for Islam. Can you remember? Among the sisters, anything beautiful that Abu Talha did for Islam? Yes. We are not hearing her. When? Yes. So you can see that garden that he had wanted to give to Umm Sulaym, he gave it to Islam. This is what you are telling us? Is that what you are telling us? So it means that Abu Talha purified his Islam. Are you understanding me? Sometimes the sabab for his acceptance of Islam is through who? Through Umm Sulaym. But he purified his intention for Allah. Are you understanding me? And he beautified in Islam. So it will not be classified as somebody because there are two things. You go for Hajj solely because of Allah. Are you understanding me? But like you said, there can be worldly intentions. So sometimes something that pulls you into Islam is one thing. Something pulls you into Islam. Are you understanding me? But after getting into Islam, you repurify. Are you understanding me? You beautify your intention for Allah Ta'ala. And so it is said that the reason why he accepted Islam is because of Umm Sulaym, but he perfected his Islam. He perfected his Islam. So since he perfected Islam, he will not be classified as he had migrated into Islam because of marriage alone. Marriage is one of the reasons. Are you understanding me? But he perfected his Islam. Are we understood? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum.